So there's a parish, Catholic parish, outside of Baltimore area. And there in the parish area, as you're leaving Mass or as you're leaving the parking lot exit, there's a sign that the pastor put up. For the parking lot exit, as you leave the church grounds, the sign that says, "You are entering mission territory." It's pretty clever. Our gospel reading today is what is known as the Great Commission. It's at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. That last verse is the end of it. So Matthew then leaves us with this great commissioning of Jesus to the disciples. And does it say anything more? Does it mention the ascension, although the other Gospels do? But Matthew does this, I think, in a way to basically tell us, hey, the story of Jesus Christ is not over. The story continues on. And Matthew is absolutely right, because we are living the rest of the story of Jesus Christ. So Jesus tells his disciples to go out, and for 2,000 years, the church has done exactly that, continuing the gospel story, sending missionaries out to the ends of the earth, to Europe, Asia, Africa, the Americas. So many missionaries going out, proclaiming the good news, the gospel message. They've done such a good job that today it's hard to find any parts of the world that doesn't at least know who Jesus or what Christianity is. And so because of that, today the mission territory has changed for us. The mission lands are no longer these foreign countries, these foreign continents across the world. The mission lands now are our very own backyard. Our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and many times our very own families are all now mission territory. We no longer have to go forth very far to find the lost sheep. And so our mission plan has changed as well because of that. The missionaries of old would go out and find these countries, these civilizations that had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they would evangelize for the first time. But now we are encountering those who've heard the message, maybe not completely, maybe incorrectly, but they think they know the message. So now our mission is not to evangelize for the first time, but to re-engage, re-evangelize to a certain degree. And many of those we go out to seek to bring into our fold have already been baptized, but they've fallen away. After talking about this, I bet everyone here listening or in the room here in the parish hall can think of at least one person like that, right? As Bishop Barron calls the nuns, those who don't have any association with a faith. So the next big question is, if we're to go out then and make them disciples, is how do we do this? How do we deliver the good news? How do we make them disciples? There's a long answer to that question. It depends on situations. But what I can tell you today, what I want to tell you today, is how to start. Kind of the prerequisite to evangelizations. And that answer is to start with our own heart. And the first part is to love them. Love the person. And this doesn't mean you be nice to them or you wish them well or you say, oh yeah, I'll kind of pray for you, but then don't do it. No, love them with the love of the Holy Trinity. Pray for them in an earnest way, desiring the good in their hearts. Seek out ways to show him or her the love in your heart for them as a son and daughter of Christ. Search out for those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who are depressed, or feel like life has no meaning. The past year, we have a lot of people who are just struggling. They need to hear the good news. So go forth, go out, and love them. And not just wanting what is good for them, but willing it. Not just saying it'd be nice if they would turn around, but desiring with your heart, willing the good of the other. Making it happen. This is something we all can do. This is something we all have within us because love is given to us by God. Why? Because God is love. And so when we give others our love, what we're really doing then is giving them God Himself. When we share our love with others, not really our love, it's the love of God we give to other people. Because God is love. And God the Father so much loved us that He gave us His only begotten Son. And the God the Son who loves us so much that He freely and willingly suffered and died on a cross for our sins and then rose from the dead to give us eternal life. A gift that none of us deserve, a gift that none of us can earn. But God desired it greatly so much for us that the Father sent the Son and the Son gave His life for us. And then the Father and the Son, to show that they will never abandon us, never let us go, gave us the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the embodiment of their love. Because this pure and this powerful love between God the Father and God the Son was so great that it manifests God the Holy Spirit, a Spirit that bears witness with our spirit, a Spirit that is a part of us, dwells within us, have given us gifts and fruits through our sacraments of baptism and confirmation. But how many of us realize that? How many of us use the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we've been giving? Three persons in one Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all composed of and all giving freely of this pure, this perfect, this godly love. We are here because of that love. Because God has so much love that the three persons was not enough. He created you and I so that He could share the Trinitarian love with all of us. So we are invited to participate then in that love. Love as adopted sons and daughters of the most blessed Holy Trinity. And in our second reading, as St. Paul tells us, we are not slaves. We are not spirit. We don't have the spirit of slavery within us. We have the spirit of adoption. So we're not slaves. We're not servants to God, but family. We are adopted sons and daughters of the Trinity. We are adopted and welcomed into the family of the Holy Trinity by our baptism. And not just sons and daughters, but joint heirs with God the Son Himself. The heir is the special place among the sons and daughters of the firstborn. They're given kind of as more prominent, more special place than the families of old. And so we share in that very special place with the Trinity, who loves us so much, puts us, says, yes, you are a co-heir with Jesus Christ Himself. We are called then, because of the special place within the family of God, as children of God, then we are called to invite others to our family. And this essentially is the gospel message. This is the good news. We are beloved. We will always be beloved. No matter our faults, no matter our failings, there's a God of love and a God of mercy who reaches out to us, who looks for us in the pastures as the lost sheep, who desires to bring us into this Trinitarian love of God Himself. So we should be overjoyed by this news. This is beautiful, wonderful, joyful news. It should overwhelm us so much that we cannot contain it. The love of God should so overfill our hearts that our hearts then overflow with love. And then when that love is overflowing, it becomes contagious. When it becomes contagious, people notice. And this is how you convert the hearts of others, by loving them. And then always be prepared to give a reason for your faith, for your hope. Always be ready to explain that the love that you have, that you share, is not yours to give, but the love of the Holy Trinity. And that's what you share with them. St. Francis of Assisi says that the Holy Trinity finds its home and its dwelling in our hearts. This Holy Trinity is not something out there. It's not something that just lives and dwells in heaven. It is in within each and every one of us. So we all have that great love of the Trinity. And then this great love is then given to us to give to others. So love them. This is how we make disciples. So then as you leave the parking lot today, remember that you too are entering mission territory. Whether it be in your office, at the HEB, on the streets, in your very homes, wherever you go, you are in mission lands. So then for the love of God, go forth and make disciples.